You are listening live.
Listening live.
You listening live.
Live from the Scissortail Studio,
a in true gem,
Oklahoma.
The iconic Scissortail Studio in the heart of Oklahoma
this
City.
This is the Scissortail Podcast. Welcome back to the Scissortail Podcast. We're here in the Scissortail Studios. Your co-host Porter Cunningham here, joined as always by my good friend, Will Bowersox. Will, say hello to the people.
Greetings, loyal listeners. Thanks for your time. Thanks for your ears. I just want to say it is a true pleasure to be recording in a real jewel of the city, the Scissortail Studios. They've been dormant for many years, but finally some new investors came in. And you can see around us, obviously you're just listening, there's a lot of still renovation work happening, but it's great to be in the heart of the city and a real jewel of the city's crown.
You can really hear how good the acoustics are in the studio. I mean,
Echo.
Anyway, we hope you enjoyed last week's episode. That was one thing that we were pretty proud about, talking to GM Eric Neuendorf. If you missed it, go back and listen to it. A lot of good stuff in that episode. We hope to bring you one of those, at least one of those a month, that is more than just two old blokes talking about Rye OKC. But that's all we're going to do today. It's going to be a somewhat quick episode, not a whole lot to report on. So let's talk about it. Will, did we have any corrections from last week?
Not that I can tell. I mean, unfortunately, we did most of the listening last week. So yeah. All of the information was from the horse's mouth and presumably was factual.
Signings this week. I don't think we've had any official signings this week, but we do have one unofficial, being Robbie Finley, who the team has not announced yet, but we've seen in quite a few social media posts.
Social media strikes again.
Yeah.
The age of the new journalist.
That's right. So, obviously, Robbie Finley, American forward, can also play out on the wing. He's got MLS experience, Real Salt Lake, so we're quickly turning into Real San Antonio
Viacano.
Silverback Viacano. Nice to have that connection there as well.
For sure. Spent some time as well in the English Championship.
Fulham, I believe. Right?
Fulham, yes, of course. And was capped 11 times for the men's national team. So I think it's an exciting signing. We're going to look like idiots if it's somebody else. But yeah.
I'm 99% confident he's going to be, he's not here as a trialist.
So. Well, you never know, right? You got a high standard. So how do you see him slotting in to the lineup, potentially?
I mean, not knowing anything about the NASL or where these guys really play, and this is where hopefully somebody out there can correct us if we're wrong, if I'm wrong. I kind of see Billy Forbes, the left wing, maybe a 4-3-3 with Billy Forbes on the left, Robbie Finley in a center forward position, and Marvin Chavez on the right wing, kind of what I can see.
It'll be curious to see, and it sounds sexy.
In fact, I think I have an idea. Let's, you and I put our brains together. We'll put a projected 11 out there, maybe on the Twitter account this week.
Boom.
And that way some people could get some visualizations. People from other NASL teams that have seen these guys play will be able to correct us and say, nah, he doesn't play on the right. He plays in the center most of the time.
We'll respond and say you're full of it.
Yeah. Well, we've talked to the coach and you haven't.
Quit jocking my team, brah.
That's right.
Cover your own.
No, but we definitely want some feedback. We want to know what this team is going to look like. Obviously, we'll get to see it Saturday in our first preseason match. But
all right. Yeah, looking forward to it. That's Saturday?
That's this coming Saturday.
All right. Well,
so
I haven't
seen anything about the team streaming the match. I'm hoping it's going to be streamed. If not, we should just jump in the car and go down to Dallas and watch it.
If only it was the same weekend as ticket stock.
That was this weekend.
I know. We should send them a note and let them know next year.
Okay.
Anyway, that wraps up segment one. Thank you for listening. We will be back shortly to discuss more happenings in Oklahoma City's most beloved and oldest professional soccer club, coming to you live from the oldest and most beloved recording studio in the heart of Oklahoma City.
Welcome back to episode 6, Scissortail Podcast. Porter Cunningham here. Will, I want to talk to you a little bit now about the big rumor that came out this week that the NASL might be covered by some branch of CBS broadcasting this season. What do you think about that?
That's making me rethink my entire cord cutting strategy.
Yeah, it's going to be hard to catch them if they're only on CBS.
I'll probably stream them illegally, to be honest.
They know where you live, so they'll come find you.
They know where I record from.
They know
in
they
the heart know, of the city.
They know where the Scissor Tail studio is. They'll be way
yeah,
better.
I think it's great. I hope it comes to fruition. I think any sporting league, what you're looking to do is, you know, pump more sun. I want to say pump more sunshine, but that's not exactly what it is. You want to just get on as many distribution platforms as possible. And how many people are out there casually perusing ESPN3 or whatever CBS's ESPN3 program is, looking for things to watch? I don't know, but it's better than not being able to watch something. You know, if I have to follow, like we just talked to the Carolina guy, and he's like, you know, we're playing on a Wednesday night. I'm not going to like live tweet that or like how else we're going to watch that, you know?
Yeah.
So
I think it'll be interesting. I think soccer is growing in America. You know, everyone always is talking about how much NBC Sports paid for the Barclays Premier League coverage. And now Fox Sports is getting in on the game with the Bundesliga. So, you know, ESPN covers the MLS, and to a lot of people, they kind of do a shit job of it. So it'll be really interesting to see if CBS is going to dip their toes in the water and cover the NASL. I personally would love it because I want to be able to watch not only Rayo OKC, but I want to be able to watch some of the other teams play too.
Agreed completely. Do you think that if we, and this is likely, become the color and the play-by-play man for Rayo, we'll be able to roll that into Masters credentials since the CBS network? We would get to go, right?
Surely, yeah. Yeah, we would be the Gallardia correspondents for the Masters.
Of course.
One question I actually do have, a serious question for other NASL podcasters out there is, have you guys heard, I want to say that I heard a rumor, I don't know if it came from somebody at the front office or somebody else out there or both, that the NASL is requiring like 6 different camera locations for every match, and it's going to be standard for every match. So that would lead credence to a major network covering it if they say, we've got to have cameras at both ends of the field, up high at midline, down low, on the opposite side to watch the benches. I think that's something that I heard there. So if anybody else out there can confirm or deny that rumor, that'd be cool. One other thing I want to talk about real quickly in this segment. A lot has been going on in Florida for the IMG Academy. My own, used to be my team, the Montreal Impact, were down there playing the Tampa Bay Rowdies, I believe, preseason action. And I saw a picture of Tampa Bay's Al Lang Stadium, and I hope I'm saying that right. But it's got to be one of the coolest, but
certainly
one of the
unique,
weirdest stadiums, I think, in the States. What do you think about that stadium?
Built around a baseball field.
Converted baseball field, correct.
Yeah, I mean, it's cool.
But they're not playing it in a baseball stadium. I mean, they tore down the
walls
converted. And everything. And, looks really cool right there being on the bay.
Yeah, it's a great location. The way the seats are, it's a little bit weird. I wonder what the noise is like if it gets rowdy for the Rowdies.
Yeah.
Terrible joke. I would love to see something similar in Oklahoma City. It would be a real asset.
Yeah, I know that there's a list out there of like 70 or some odd abandoned stadiums in the United States, but I don't
really
think there's any good ones in the Oklahoma City area. So
how cool would it be if we got where the 89ers used to play as a soccer-specific site?
But they did bulldoze that and turn it into a parking lot at the fairgrounds.
Shows you how much I know, how long I've been away.
Unfortunately,
I'm gonna write my congressman about
you
that.
You can see, actually, if you go out there, you can see the I-beams where the scoreboard was, and that's all that's left.
True part of Oklahoma City history. The I-beams were the scoreboard.
And now they just have trailers parked right there with horse shit in them. So that's what they think about
baseball
history.
Not a jewel of the stadium, like the Scissor Tail Studio.
All right, that's all we have for this segment. What a great, that's probably our best segment we've ever done.
Yeah, frankly, we should
great.
All sign right. off here.
We'll be back. Back to our final segment this week. Some of you are probably hoping that it's our final segment. We've had a lot to talk about this week, not really. But we do want to set up something that we've talked about in the past in this segment, our free talk segment. We've discussed doing an oral history of Oklahoma City FC and the Energy FC and how both sides came to be. Because
if you're just following the Twitter narrative or what the I want to say journalists, but really just the bloggers who are writing satirical hit pieces about Rayo OKC are saying the narrative is that Rayo OKC is some joke of a club that has no history, nothing's really going for it, and is a total commercial failure waiting to happen. And I think the reality is it's a much more complicated story than what the popular narrative wants you to believe. And we hope to uncover it, and there's a dialogue to be had, and not that we're going to win a whatever the podcaster's Pulitzer thing is, not that even exists. We're not trying to become journalists. We just want to talk about it and try to shed some light on the narrative.
Yeah, our whole goal of doing this was to provide a perspective on the team, and one of the questions we've been asked a lot, or has been asked, is why are there two soccer teams in Oklahoma City? Of all the cities in the country, why would they choose to put a second team in Oklahoma City and not put a first NASL team somewhere else?
Why would Rayo Vallecano, some tiny fledgling club from Madrid, choose Oklahoma City, right? That's another version of the same question. So who is on our hit list of people to speak with?
So I've already reached out to a few people at The Oklahoman, which is the newspaper here in Oklahoma City. If you go back and look through their archives, there are multiple articles written. Barry Trammell wrote an article back in 2013 and reached out to him. He respectfully declined to comment on it. He's busy covering the Thunder and everything else. And I reached out to Brianna Bailey, who is another writer there at the Oklahoman, and Steve Lackmire, who normally cover Oklahoma City business side of things. But Brianna did write a story about the Energy shortly after.
It falls into the Metro happenings bucket.
Yeah. And I think it was their first season. And actually, that was the article that came up because somebody out there was tweeting about what's the end game for Energy FC. And in that article specifically, it mentions the end game for Energy FC being MLS and a downtown stadium. So those are a few people. And then we also obviously want to talk to front office people on both sides. So there's a bunch of entities out there. There's Sold Out Strategies, Brad Lund. There is Prodigal LLC, Bob Funk Jr. with the Energy. There is Pro Soccer LLC, Tim McLaughlin, who is now with Energy FC, originally was with Oklahoma City FC.
We'll probably fly to Madrid to speak with Rayo Vallecano.
Sure.
Probably take the charter.
Yeah. Can you drive to Madrid? So those are some of the people we want to talk to. And I think we should
talk to supporters, right? There are fans that have been, you know, with the team from day one that either were held out and waited to see what the NASL franchise was, and there were fans that left to go to the USL franchise. So I'm really curious to hear opinions and viewpoints from both of those.
And let me say that if for some reason, and I think we'll probably run into a lot of walls with this because we're just two guys with a podcast, and so why should they talk to us about their personal business dealings? But in the event that we can't get enough interviews to do a true oral history, we'll just spend a segment or two discussing the happenings as we could research them.
We'll probably take a lot of journalistic leaps and make a bunch of stuff up.
Yeah.
Kind of rewrite the narrative, so to speak.
Yeah.
So anyway, stay tuned on that. Sorry we really mailed it in this week. We're both exhausted from a furious indoor soccer game.
6-1 victory!
Which we won, yes. Number 7 from the other team, if you're listening, you know who you are. You're a jerk. And I'm really glad
I'm a hack artist.
I'm really glad I didn't tear my ACL today. And if you're probably an Energy fan, frankly. And anyway, we'll kind of roll out with that. We'll be back next week.
So next week, just if you manage to make it this long, we promise to have a better show next week. Because Wednesday, as we mentioned, we will be covering live, hopefully, an event with the team. Another reveal with the team on Wednesday. Then there might be a big event Friday for the team. A intramural scrimmage, if you will. Followed up by an official preseason game. The first official preseason game Saturday. So we'll cover all that in next week's episode. So stay with us.
Stay tuned. Peace out. Listening.